Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, my heavens, there is so much that I want to try to say in so small an amount of time. Last night, we talked a little bit about what it's like to know both about the Church of England and the Episcopal Church. And one of the few things that unites us as Anglicans is a limited tolerance for sermons. You only get 11 minutes, so I have to be quick. But for so many reasons, I am so happy to be here and not a little bit intimidated, just so you know. It is the 40th anniversary of this wonderful parish. And by itself, that is a tremendous occasion for celebration and for reflection. You have the blessing of being a young church. A place where the six people that we will receive today have a chance to shake the hands and talk to people who founded the church. That's pretty unusual. In the church, we kind of make a lot out of old things. We have in the convocation what I am sure is the oldest church building in the entire Episcopal Church. It's 1,000 years old. But it's just old. Young churches are evidence that God is still alive and at work in the world, so it's good to be young. And it is great to have new people joining us on the occasion of an anniversary. Here's another reason I'm happy. I grew up in an All Saints church. The church of my home is All Saints in East Lansing, Michigan, so I always have a warm spot for All Saints churches. And if you must know the truth, All Saints Day is my favorite holiday of the whole church year. There's so much you have to plan around Holy Week and Easter. There's so much going on around Christmas, but All Saints is this sort of uniting of the church militant and the church triumphant. I love All Saints Day. And the very place I ever lived outside my hometown was in Brussels. So I am delighted to be here in this place because I love Belgium. And then, of course, there is a small event that took place within these walls about exactly a year ago. It is a little bit strange to come for the first time to a place where your life was changed forever. But that is where we have come today. So we are delighted, finally, to meet you here. There's a lot on my heart this morning as I have prayed about and thought about this time with you. I did all my homework. I read everything Sonny sent me. I read up on the history of Waterloo. I even went into the sub-basement of the cathedral and I found all of the old records that we have for All Saints Waterloo. I have the preacher's predicament of too much material. But then I read through the parish website, and I found what you've been telling the world about this day. Do you read the website? Do you? Do you know what it says about today? This is what it says. 18th Sunday after Pentecost, immigrant attitudes. Immigrant attitude. That got my attention. Maybe because for the first time in my life, I am an immigrant. I have a new and much keener appreciation for the experience of dislocation and alienation that goes with leaving the place that you call home and going to a new country. But that has been the Christian story for 2,000 years. Ever since Mary Magdalene ran away from the empty tomb in the garden and out into the world, Christians have been immigrants wherever we are. So what does it mean for us disciples, for these new members of our church, to have an immigrant attitude? Now, if you think about it, there's a little bit of a paradox here, right? Because at just the moment that we are celebrating 40 years of having a place to call home, we're going to talk about what it means to have the attitude of an immigrant, a person who isn't home, who doesn't know maybe where home is. But of course, the truth is, We could be here 400 years and we would still be immigrants in this place. Most of us, in a very specific way, are immigrants. I would guess that only a very small percentage of the people of All Saints Waterloo were actually born in Belgium. Raise your hand if you were born in Belgium. Yeah, folks, you're a minority here, okay? The rest of us are immigrants here in this place. And we're immigrants in more ways than that. The Episcopal Church is an immigrant to Belgium. We are not native to this place. We're outsiders. We're latecomers. And here's something even more challenging. We are immigrants in our own culture. From the time of Charlemagne, Europe was Christendom, the realm of Christianity. Those days are well and truly over. We are aliens in our own land, immigrants in a culture that we fashioned. Today, we are people of faith in the midst of a culture that is radically secularized to the point of hostility toward the claims of faith and towards the communities of faithful people. So if you come to worship in an Episcopal church in Belgium, you are an immigrant no matter where you were born. We are all equally aliens. So what should our immigrant attitude be? The readings we heard this morning are not the readings they will hear anywhere else in the convocation this morning. In fact, nowhere else in the Episcopal Church will they hear the three readings that we heard, unless they are celebrating their anniversary too, because they're the lessons appointed for the occasion of the founding of a church, the anniversary of the founding. And wouldn't you just know there are some helpful clues in those three readings about our immigrant attitude as we move to the next 40 years of being faithful disciples here in Waterloo. First, there's Jacob. In the story George read for us this morning, Jacob is a little more like a refugee than an immigrant. He's on the move. He's going from home to his uncle's place, and he's in the no man's land between one safe place and another. He is living very precariously. We know precariously, right? We know about what it's like to feel precarious. We know about loans. We know about having to pay off loans. We know what precarious feels like. But Jacob manages something that should teach us a little bit about how to be disciples. Even though he doesn't feel safe, he never loses his capacity for wonder, his willingness to open his eyes to see visions, and his ability to see God at work around him. And that is how his unsafe place becomes a place filled with awe and the presence of God. The immigrant attitude of Jacob is to set aside fear in favor of wonder. So that's the first thing about our immigrant attitude. Here's the second, Jesus in the temple. Jesus has a different kind of immigrant attitude. First of all, he's not really an immigrant in the temple, right? Remember way back in the story when he's a young person and his family goes to the temple for a pilgrimage festival? And where does Jesus go? Nowhere. He stays right in the temple, right? Because why? It's my Father's house. This is my home. Jesus is not an immigrant in the temple, but when he gets to the temple today, what he finds is a wide distance between the high principles of the faith and the practices of the religion. He's suddenly become an immigrant in his own home. The covenant of love and faithfulness that God made with Abraham has been reduced to empty observance and profiteering. And so Jesus makes a dramatic show of what it means to live by principle. It is terrible liturgy, but it's profound and authentic witness to God's truth. The immigrant attitude of Jesus is the crazy idea of demanding that the place he's in live up to its highest values. Jesus in the temple teaches us, those of us who are immigrants by virtue of being disciples, that we should dare to imagine living by principle and not by profit. And we should dare to challenge the places in which we live, wherever they are, to do the same thing. So, our immigrant attitude is to be on the eager lookout for wonder and the work of God, and our immigrant attitude is to dare to live by our principles rather than by our culture's compromises. Okay, but being an immigrant is a little bit like being an uprooted plant. It's the experience of being disconnected and cut off from the people that you belong to. These days, we are so focused on the things that make up our individual identity. To be an immigrant is to lose the most essential aspect of your identity, a community of belonging to a group that you could claim as your own. So that's the last part of our immigrant attitude. It's the part about belonging, not just about where we belong, but to whom we belong. We learned in seminary that the first letter of Peter is in fact not a letter. It's probably a sermon that was preached on the occasion of a baptism in the very earliest church. The message of that sermon is to teach the faithful people of a young church that they have become part of something much larger than themselves. They know themselves to be people on the margins of society, the servants, the slaves, the poor, the problem children. Those are our ancestors in the faith, not the high and mighty, not the well-respected people. Those people are the people who gave us this church. They didn't really belong to the communities they lived in. They weren't citizens. They had no money. They counted for nothing. They weren't part of anything that mattered. And the immigrant attitude that they were taught, the immigrant attitude that we are taught is this: no matter where you come from, no matter what you have or don't have, when you become a part of the church, you take on a new identity. You become part of a great people doing great things. It's an identity more important than your gender or your nationality or your race or your orientation or your language or anything else about you, even your denomination. When you become part of the church, you become a disciple. You take on an identity that for the rest of your life will transcend and shape all of the other things that make up your identity. And there's one last thing about all this. We all come into this place being taught by our culture that we belong to ourselves, that we answer to no higher authority, no greater purpose than ourselves. But when we become a part of this community of immigrants, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. When we join up with these people, we belong to each other now. And more than that, we become God's own people. It is God's love we witness to in the world, God's justice we work to bring into the world, God's hope that lights our path, and God's kingdom we are here to build. Now that sounds wonderful, but it is really hard. It is really hard work. We are not all that comfortable with the idea of belonging to something bigger than ourselves. We are taught that that is somehow a compromise or a loss of our freedom. The kingdom of God may sound like a wonderful place, but whatever it is not a democracy. And still, that is what we are called to be. That is what it means to be a part of a church. 40 years ago, a group of faithful immigrants who knew they belonged to God and to each other put together their sense of wonder, their determination to live by their principles, and their hope to become part of a larger people, and they built this church. That was their immigrant attitude. So today, as we thank God for their beginnings, may we also ask God to renew in us the gift of their attitude, so that we may take up their unfinished labors and move onward to the place where God, the God we belong to, is calling us to go. Amen.